brought to you by Penguin.
Sailing Alone by Richard J. King, read by William Hope. And where we had thought to be alone, we will be with all the world. Joseph Campbell. Preface. My own solo crossing was not an exceptional feat of seamanship. This is not false modesty. I'm quite proud of the voyage in terms of endurance and my will and energy to make the whole adventure happen, but the passage across the Atlantic took longer than projected. I did not sail efficiently, and the skills that I lacked the most were exposed in embarrassing fashion. By the time I arrived off Kashkash, my engine was dead. I navigated at that point with only a torn-out cruising guide map of the Portuguese coast, since I never expected to end up this far south. That final morning, after one of the hardest nights of the trip, I saw mountain peaks above the haze. Elated, I shouted to escorts of surfing dolphins and careening brown seabirds. Even as I sailed beside a string of puzzling yellow buoys, conjuring dangerous possibilities of getting tangled in fishing gear or drifting into a military testing zone, I still knew it was over. I had completed my single-handed passage across the Atlantic Ocean. Without a working engine, though, I had to short tack up to the marina where two men who zoomed out in an inflatable boat tolerated my few words of Spanish, since I knew no Portuguese, before briskly towing me inside the high walls and around to the berth at the dock, after 5 weeks at sea by myself. I was physically exhausted, emotionally spent, and paralytically rattled from the entire experience. I rationalized that I had to get back home to my job. I did not have any difficulty going out on the ocean again, even within a year, but I returned only to larger ships. I have not been in the water sailing by myself since. I sold my boat. Now, over 15 years later, either at sea or ashore, there is sometimes a particular level of wind, a decibel or tone of wind, a specific sound and volume of angry, grasping, howling, relentless wind through a boat's rigging or through trees or even across the clapboards of my house that sucks me back to being aboard my 28-foot sloop in one of those gales in the North Atlantic. When I hear that particular level of wind, I am again looking out of my porthole aboard Fox. I feel afraid again. I start going over scenarios again. What to do if X breaks or Y happens? I think of that tiny black storm petrel veering sidelong across my wake, either in its element or also entirely terrified and out of control. I couldn't tell which. It takes several hours for my fear of that certain sound of wind to fade. I've never talked out loud about this fear of wind, never mentioned this lingering emotion to anyone, even to my family. In other words, this book is not the story of individual excellence, nor is it a compendium of sailing records or a practical manual on how to do it if you're considering a solo voyage yourself. Sailing Alone is the exploration, firstly, of why go? I wanted to find out why other people have committed, exiled themselves into small boats alone on the surface of the open ocean. Among those of Western backgrounds, single-handed ocean sailing began in the late 1800s. Individual and collective motivations to cross an ocean alone have shifted over time as solo sailors responded to social, political, and environmental movements. And telling the history of human reasoning for doing this sort of thing requires a parade of wonderfully compelling and surprisingly different.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?